You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Man.
So, yeah, I'm pretty toast.
What are you drinking?
Oh, I've been drinking all day.
Nice.
Between, you know, when you go out, we started at 9, so we started with Bloody Marys. And
I'm not a fan of those.
Really? I really have become a huge fan of really good Bloody Marys. And then a tradition that's up, you know, by you guys is a Bloody Mary with what they call a beer back, right? So you have a Bloody Mary and a beer together.
Right.
Usually it's supposed to be like a 5-ounce pour of beer. But, of course, when we're out on the boat, we just have a, you know, can or a bottle or whatever to go with it. And we thought we were going to be done at noon because that we only had a half a day on the boat. But we went all the way back to the dock, and he's like, you know, because we had called about 11 o'clock and said, hey, do you know if the afternoon guys have canceled or are they going to, you know, are they confirmed? They said, well, they're confirmed right now. So we went all the way back to the dock. We got to the dock. Excuse me, a little froggy. And he goes, let me check one more time. He goes into the office, and right as he goes into the office, the afternoon reservation called and canceled. So we went back out, and it was just the three guys, me and Mike and Jimmy. Mike is the guy I work for, and Jimmy's one of our coworkers. And we were just out there all day fishing, didn't catch much, and we were on a boat that's really and we were getting it, man. We were out there we were tearing it up out there today, and it was a good day.
Nice.
Pretty good day, yeah. I'm kind of hurting, like, right now. I'm exhausted and got a little bit of a headache, so I think I might have had, you know, not enough water and too much alcohol and too much sun.
Yeah.
Probably, you know. Yeah, so, but overall, it's really hard to complain about anything like that, because as gorgeous as it was today.
Yeah.
So I can send you a picture, too, actually. You're like, no, thanks, that's fine.
Fucker.
You son of a bitch.
I'd love to be out on my boat.
Yeah, when is that, actually, when can you get back out in it?
When do we open that again? That, when does that start? Is it the beginning of April? I think it might be the beginning
of
April.
You got me.
Yeah.
You're the one with the boat up there.
Yeah, I know.
Ours is year round. We have to get.
Oh, look at that. Oh, that's beautiful, dude.
Yeah. You know, today was kind of a spontaneous day, actually, as far as going out on the boat. Mike, he's our partner. Mike and Tina are our partners in the boat club. And Mike said something about it yesterday. He's like, hey, the boat club called to confirm that we have reservations. I'm like, wow, I forgot I even made those reservations like the middle of last week because we were talking about going out. And sure enough, oh, there she's ready down too.
No, I just added her.
Okay.
Well, I'm trying to add her. We'll see.
So anyway, today was kind of a spontaneous thing, and the girls, Tina and Chrissy, they went out shopping today because, you know, we're going on a cruise starting next Monday. That's why I can't do next Sunday night.
I gotcha.
I got to get up early to drive to Fort Lauderdale to get on the cruise.
Oh, it did not add her.
Hmm.
Yeah, actually, I am not good for next week also.
Okay.
So we might
Do we have something in the can?
No, I might be able to put together, like, I've been sitting on that one where we had the previous conversation about 80s computer games from back in the 80s Reboot Overdrive that we never used. So,
oh, we really never? Really?
Yeah, I never used that.
Okay.
And that was a good 20, 30 minute conversation, so.
Could be more than that.
Hey, Rose.
Hey.
How we sounding?
There's a little lag there, but it's not nearly as bad as it was. I went ahead and turned my Wi-Fi on.
Okay.
Because it said I had a poor connection, so I don't know what's going on there. But.
So we don't sound like a small wonder anymore?
No. That's kind of fun, actually.
Welcome to Bonsai Retro Club.
That was a terrible show. Gosh. Do you remember that one, Rose?
I do not.
Small Wonder? Oh, wow. You want a complete, just, like, totally bad, cheesy 80s sitcom. Look up Small Wonder. It
sounds familiar, though. Who did it have in it?
Was it anybody of significance?
I don't know.
I don't know why I'm asking. I could look up IMDb. I'm sitting right next to my iPad.
Small Wonder TV show. Cast.
I think the dad was in quite a few things. But I don't think there was anybody in the cast that was, like, really well known.
Brian Austin Green.
Oh, from Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Outside of that?
No. Oh, 85 to 89.
Yeah.
That lasted 4 years? Wow.
Oh, I remember that.
That's like what the hell, really?
Yeah. I remember this.
Yeah, she's like a robot.
Oh, I know. That was terrible. I think this came out around about the time... This came out around about the time Punky Brewster came out. I think they were competing with another show and failed miserably.
Well, they didn't have to compete with anybody to fail on that show. Sorry. Yeah.
Punky was 84 to 88.
Okay. Yeah, they were trying to cash in on the little cute kid thing. It wasn't working.
Yeah.
All right. Recording a call. Good. All right. Let's see. I should probably save that. I was editing the breaking episode.
You got the copy from Shy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so weird, dude. I went to edit this morning, and I started to play the file, and I heard my voice, and then everything else was like you guys were in a storm. I couldn't even hear your voice. And I was like, oh my god, I don't have this. And so, you know, I rebooted my computer, did all the things you would normally do, and nothing. You know, it's still the same thing. And I'm like, crap. So... that's when I sent the message to Scott, and you said you might have it, but then I had interaction with Shy because I was going to be on his show today, and I'm like, just out of curiosity, do you have a copy? And he's like, oh yeah, it sounded great. I already listened to it. I'm like, perfect. Send it.
Now.
So he sent it a little bit later in the afternoon, then that's what I've been kind of working on so that I can kind of get it ready. Because in a perfect world, I can have ours posted, let's say Monday, you know, hopefully Monday or tomorrow morning, and theirs is going to be posted like on Friday. So it'll be a second part to the conversation.
Oh, cool. I'm looking forward to hearing both of them.
But I'm going to close that right now because we're talking something else.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we want to do a third part on breaking.
No. I really don't have much else to add. Except maybe a hip hop, you don't stop a rocket. Sorry, that wasn't the right movie.
No.
No.
Wedding Singer.
Yes, wedding singer.
Gangsta's Paradise.
Which is not an 80s, it's not necessarily an 80s movie, but it's about the 80s, so it is an 80s movie in a roundabout way.
In a roundabout way.
Yeah.
We might want to count that.
Yeah. Like when he tells her, take off, you can't be wearing my Van Halen t-shirt, you might make the band break up.
Jinx, make them break up. Yeah. I thought that was good.
Oh my God, John Lovitz was so creepy in that movie.
Wasn't he though? But can you shake like this? No! No, and I don't want you to do that either.
Yeah, please, please stop. Please.
Please stop doing that.
Men, I'm going to hire a DJ now.
Yeah. Exactly. Men should not know how to shimmy. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, good old Billy. Billy Idol.
Oh, wait.
Well, we're first class, so we do pretty much whatever we want.
I know. It was so great to see, because up until that point, I honestly thought he just fell off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, here he is.
It's a fun little cameo for him.
Look at you. You haven't aged a bit. Kind of. Yeah. Well, you know, we all do. They looked pretty good, though. It didn't look like, you know, like he, whatever.
Yeah, I just know I wouldn't talk back to Billy with that big guy that was, like, protecting him. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, yeah, whatever Billy wants.
Talk to Billy like that.
All right, I had some other screen open, and now it just disappeared. Damn it. Give me a second. Get back where I was.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like my laptop. I plugged in a microphone this afternoon and didn't even recognize it. Like, hello? This is a recording device. What is your problem?
Alright, I got it. Okay, Tombstone, right?
Yeah.
All right. Wait to get started.
What was that? Somebody's getting their sash going there or something? Or?
No, I'm sorry. I'm out by my tool bench tonight. I was.
You got tossed out of the house? You were that bad?
Relic, then,
dude.
No.
She's like, go on the boat without me, you fucker.
No, she's got the air cranked up in there, and I was chilly, probably because I've got a sunburn. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like it makes you feel the opposite of what it really is inside. So yeah. It is.
Do you have aloe vera?
I have several different ointments.
Aloe vera is the one you want. Trust me.
I don't know if I have any aloe vera acid. Right now. We do like lavender essential oil stuff.
I'm so proud of myself. So proud of myself for leaving that ointment like phrase alone. Just start, I wasn't going to go there. Just let it sit, Dave. Just let it sit.
I have many leather-bound books, and it smells like mahogany.
Just wondering if one of those ointments has the initials KY in it?
No.
All right. Okay.
Oh, Lordy.
TMI.
Unless it's maybe ketoconazole. No, there's no Y in that one.
Oh man.
Oh, what the hell are we doing tonight?
I hope we're whatever we're doing, we're making quick work of it. A pot roast in the oven.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, that's important.
Okay, what's your timer set at?
It's ready to actually I should take it out now, but I'm gonna give it a few more minutes.
All right. All right, so we're going to insert bumper here. Ba-da-da-da-da.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll shut up.
show you. Start it tomorrow. You'll see I am just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, smelly cat. What are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
It was a place where a man could start over, where a fortune could be made. They say every town has a story. Tombstone has a legend.
Who is he?
That's Wyatt Earp. Made a name for himself as a peace officer.
I heard of you.
I'm retired.
You must be Doc Holliday. Are you retired too?
Not me. I'm in my prime.
Hollywood Pictures presents...
The only real law around here is the cowboys.
The story of Wyatt Earp.
The first time in our lives we got a chance to stop wandering and finally be a family. Now this is trouble we don't need.
If we're gonna have a future in this town, it's gotta have some law and order.
What do you want, Ringo?
I want your blood. I want your soul. I want them both right now.
They shot your brother.
Now the time has come for justice.
Guess maybe you better swear me in.
And he has to live up to his reputation.
You got a fight coming.
I'll be there!
One last time.
None of your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
In a battle.
The last charge of Wyatt Earp and his immortals.
At the OK Corral.
Oh, my God.
The West would never forget. Kurt Russell. Val Kilmer. Dana Delaney. Powers Booth. Michael Biehn. Bill Paxton. Jason Priestley, Sam Elliott, and Charlton Heston.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me!
Justice is coming to Tombstone.
Hello, this is Bonsai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave, and I have got Rose on.
I'm digging it, baby.
And Scott.
Right here.
So tonight we are on our next 90s episode. We've decided to talk about a wonderful film, but let me set it up here for you. 1879, the Civil War's over. And the resulting economic explosion spurs the Great Migration West. Farmers, ranchers, prospectors, killers, and thieves seek their fortune. Cattle growers turn cow towns into armed camps with murder rates higher than those of modern-day New York or Los Angeles. Out of the chaos comes legendary lawman Wyatt Earp, retiring his badge and gun to start a peaceful life for his family. Earp's friend, John, Doc Holliday, a southern gentleman turned gunman and gambler, also travels west hoping the dry climate would relieve his tuberculosis. Silver is discovered in Arizona. Tombstone becomes queen of the boomtowns where the latest Paris fashions are sold from the backs of wagons. Attracted to this atmosphere of greed, over 100 exiled Texas outlaws bound together to form the ruthless gang recognized by the red sashes they wear. They emerge as the earliest examples of organized crime in America. They call themselves the Cowboys. Tombstone, 1993. This is Scott's idea for a podcast topic idea. I was going Goodfellas, so we are way off of that topic.
And it's just a different era. It's still criminal activity.
It is.
Different era.
It is. It is totally different era. So why Tombstone, Scott?
You know, it's just really one of my favorite movies. I watched it yesterday again in kind of like preparation to this, to tonight. And I am sucked in from the get go. And even after watching it, I don't know, I've probably watched the thing 10 or maybe a dozen times over the years. I mean, we're talking, you know, 93 to now, it's been 24 years since this thing came out. Or 20, 25. So I love the history of it, for one, that it's somewhat true to history. I mean, there are some eyewitness accounts that have been handed down from generation to generation or written down or something, for some of the things like happened at the OK Corral. And I just got to give it to the actors and the cast of this movie. The cast is just beyond outstanding. They're amazing. Kurt Russell sells it. Every line he delivers, you're like, oh, I'm all in. I'm buying it 100%. You know, there's so many great lines in this movie. Now, of course, I don't know. We don't really know if all these specific things were said. Some of them, they might have a true account, but you know, it's still a screenplay. So even if that's the way it is, that it's maybe not completely true as far as every word that they meant, that they said, it was still just so well done. And I just love Kurt Russell as Wyatt Earp. And I later on, as we go through it, I want to break down some of the other cast members, because it's a huge, huge lineup of cast in this movie. So I just thought it was really well done overall.
Very cool. Rose, what are your thoughts on Tombstone?
Oh my God, this movie is off the fucking chain. From the minute I saw it, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You have Bill Paxton, you got Sam Elliott, you got the amazing Kurt Russell as Wyatt Earp, as Scott said, but then you got Val Kilmer as the psychotic yet lovable Doc Holliday. And he is just on from the minute you see him. The first scene he is in, he's on. And it's just... At some point, I mean, I watched it last night, and I didn't get a chance to finish it all because I didn't have it. I don't know where it's at. It's probably on VHS in my house someplace. Thought I had it on DVD, but don't. I did want to pay $3 to see it, but, you know, if I could find it on YouTube. And I did. It was a little distorted, but the dialogue and the volume and everything and the voice audio was really good. It's just the picture was like half the size it should have been. But I was making it work, and I kept saying, okay, well, I just want to watch enough of it to refresh my memory. And then 45 minutes later, it's like, okay, I'm going to get this one scene out of the way.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, they haven't got the OK Corral yet, so okay, I'm definitely going to watch that, and then I'm going to stop and do something else. But, you know, it's just like, I still have like 15 or maybe even a half hour left of it to go. But to me, the end is like, the piece de resistance, because that just sums up everything, you know, that they've been going through and what they've dealt with. And at every point, I kept telling my husband, you know, I know this movie's not a comedy. I realize that. But why is some of the stuff that is just so tragic making me laugh? This is not funny. People are dying, and it's real. And this is history. You know, there's actually a video on YouTube that I watched last week that said 10 things that you didn't know about the movie Tombstone. And it's got a lot of realism in it that, you know, is correlation with what actually happened in history. Mm. So it's just amazing. Couldn't have picked a better movie, Scott. You're awesome.
Awesome. Thank you. I was excited. You know, you started throwing around 90s movies and this one just popped into my head, and I'm like, oh, this just... It's really something that I cannot get tired of.
Yeah, so, and it wasn't on any of my choices, so you went rogue on me.
Yeah.
went rogue against the Overlord. What the hell? But, you know, back to your point, Rose, as far as, like, you know, it was definitely had a lot of tragedy elements to it, but I would argue the fact that if it weren't for Val Kilmer and Powers Booth, then it would stay that way. But those two really, you know, their dialogue that was given to those guys lightened it up, because there was a sarcastic moment, or there was just something, the way they said it was just like, man, you're just a fucker, but good for you. But yeah, and just for the listener's sake, what you guys don't know is that Scott Rose and I have kind of like a group chat thing that we go on, and where we message each other about, you know, whatever's going on, and, you know, get ideas for the podcast. And I was suggesting different 90s movies to talk about, and I think my actual reaction when you brought up Tombstone was like, fuck yes.
I believe, and then the next line, I think it was, I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah. So this movie, my lineup was like, you know, I was going with the really big movies from 1990s. So I was looking at Goodfellas, Silence of the Lambs, Jurassic Park. But then as soon as Scott threw out Tombstone, I'm like, well, okay, now of course we're doing that. So it was like, we didn't have a choice at that point. Love this movie, just like the both of you. The cast, just fantastic. It is just, it's a fun movie from beginning to end. And just the tragedy that is the life of Wyatt Earp, you know, which I would assume in his retirement years was like that. You know, you're just like, I'm done. You know, I'm done with all this. And now all of a sudden he's kind of forced back into it. And he does what he has to do, takes care of business. And Kurt was able to just sell that. He's just a total badass. And you're like, you're damn straight you're afraid of me. Or afraid of, you know, you're afraid. And I can see that in your eyes. And you're like, well, I'm not going to screw around with Kurt. No way.
Yeah, that scene, that scene that you're talking about right now is when he goes in and takes over the Pharaoh game from Billy Bob Thornton. There's two scenes in this movie that, like, my jaw is, you know, my mouth is open, and I'm like, oh, this guy's such a badass, you know, is that scene. And then when he, you know, toward maybe three quarters of the way through, when he says, you know, you tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me.
Yeah.
That's just that line, and the way he delivers it is so powerful. Mm-hmm. But the scene with Billy Bob Thornton, it's just, it is so funny. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. He's just going to stand there and bleed.
Yeah.
Skin that smoke whack and get to work.
Let's see what happens.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, what? How did you remember that line? My God, what the hell is a smoke like? Oh,
the gun.
I know.
So, yeah. I was going to ask your favorite character, but I'd rather go favorite scene right now. So what is your favorite scene? I'm going to start with Rose.
Oh, man. I ain't even done with the whole movie yet. So far... it's a tough one, because every time I watch a little bit, I go out and I tell Richard, okay, so there's this one scene where...
wait a minute, Richard hasn't seen it?
I'm sure he has, but, you know, it's just something we do. I don't know, okay. I just, you know, you see something really cool, you gotta tell somebody.
No, I get it. I get it.
He's kind of like, he's my go-to guy to tell stuff to when I'm watching movies. I think there's just so many. Okay, so there's two. Okay, so I have to do this in tandem, because it sets up one of the other scenes. So remember, they're out in the street. It's nighttime, and it's the blonde guy from Sideways, and I can't remember. I'm sure I could just look on it right now. but he's in it.
Oh, yeah. And Thomas Hayden Church.
Thank you. Thomas Hayden Church. Very young Thomas Hayden Church. And he looks over at Doc Holliday and he says, you know, oh, you know, Lunger. They keep calling him the Lunger because he's got TV. And he's like, hey, he's probably drunk too. He's probably seeing double. And Val Kilmer says, he says, I got one for each of you. And I thought, oh, my God. I just howled. I thought that was hysterical. So you fast forward to the scene at the OK Corral.
Oh, yeah.
And they catch him unawares. Ike is looking like he's ready to piss himself.
As usual.
Hayden Church looks around, and he makes eye contact with Doc Holliday. Doc Holliday winks at him, and Wyatt Earp, oh, shit!
That's when the lead starts flying.
Yep, and he's like, that's it, that fucker's down. And he's like, nope, you are.
Because at that moment, Wyatt was like, that's when shit got real.
He was like Martin Lawrence. Shit's about to get real.
Yeah, everybody's going to, if everybody lays under a gun, they're all good right now. But then you see that moment where, was it Billy? Was that the guy's name? No.
I think his name is Billy.
Yeah, Billy. It's just, his face contorts because he got the wink by Doc.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's it. That's we're into this now. It's going to happen.
Yep. Exactly. It was perfect. I love it.
Oh, that's that was a good setup and the good scene right there. So Scott, where are you at for favorite scene?
You know, it's really, really hard to narrow down in this movie because it's one thing after another. I love the OK Corral scene. I love the scene, like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, with Billy Bob Thornton when he's playing Pharaoh. And all those lines that Billy Bob was actually doing while he's sitting at the table before Wyatt approaches him, all of that stuff is ad-libbed. And one of the lines that I use from that scene all the time is one of Billy Bob's lines, and that's it's like playing cards with my brother's damn kids or something. it's amateur hour, you know. I mean, that's what he's talking about, and it is so funny. And then Kurt Russell approaches him, and says, "You're in my seat," you know, and it just goes on from there. I think that little bit is just so awesome, and it continues on into where they actually go out in the street and they're talking, and that's when Doc Holliday makes his first appearance with the brothers, with the Earp brothers. I know he's earlier in the movie, but anyway, when they first reconnect and Johnny, what's his name? What's Billy Bob Thornton's name? It's a Johnny something, Johnny Taylor. He comes running up with a shotgun and he realizes that Doc Holliday is there with him. And so Doc just has like this conversation with Wyatt and Morgan and Virgil. And they just have this conversation while Johnny's just standing there pointing a shotgun at him. And he's like, what about me? And then and Val Kilmer turns to him and says, oh, Johnny, I'm sorry, I forgot you were there.
You can go now.
You may go now. God, it's just that, shotgun. That, like, it's like about I think it's maybe 7 or 8 minutes of a scene.
Yeah, half a beat and earlier, it was like, you know, when he's talking, it was like, Wyatt? You know, and he's like, Wyatt Earp? And they just look at him like, oh, you fool. We're going to continue our conversation now.
It's just the whole, it's so good and just so well performed by everybody in the cast. I think of that scene probably as one of my favorites, probably my top scene. And then the close runner up is definitely when you know, some shit has hit the fan. Morgan's been killed now, and they're sending Virgil and the girls off on a train, and Wyatt, you know, has a confrontation with Ike Clanton, which we have to talk about Ike in more depth.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the other guys, I can't remember who else he took with him.
Stillman,
thank you. And so right away, you know, Wyatt kills Stillman, and he has this talk with Ike, and Ike, of course, is just like completely backing down, like the yellow-bellied sapsucker that he is.
And he even takes like he takes like his spur or something to him and like cuts him. Like,
cuts him in the face. Yeah. That's good stuff. And it, you know, he says,
it's like, I'm not even going to waste my fucking bullet with you. You know, I'm just going to do this and deal with it. So.
And he sends him running back to Power's booth, which as Curly Bill was another outstanding performance. Goes back to them and says, yeah, okay, here, yeah. You tell him I'm coming, and Hell's coming with me, and that's when it really, it takes it up a notch. They just go out hunting cowboys.
Yeah.
And it really makes you think about the term cowboy, because cowboy was a bad thing. Cowboy was a gangster, you know? They wore red sashes like the Crips, or was it the Bloods? I think it's the Crips. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, any of our gang member fans that listen movie. To this podcast, sorry gangsters, if we got that wrong. Yeah.
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 But anyway, they were like, or if you want to compare them to like the Goodfellas of the day, right? They were like the mob. They had a lot of stake in a lot of illegal activity within the towns, and and you had to answer to the cowboys. So it's really strange, you know.
Well, I don't recall Johnny Ringo saying "forget about it." So.
Oh no.
And another. Amazing performance from Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
As Johnny Ringo. Man, it just doesn't stop. This movie is, it's from the beginning.
It keeps giving.
It really is. I mean, it's a little over 2 hours long, and they deliver all 2 hours of that. There's like no downtime, really. I think the part that I would say is like the least interesting is the little horse ride through the valley between
thank you
Kurt and Dana Delaney. It was just odd. I know that it was part of what happened in history, and that you know they ended up together or whatever, and then. You know, his poor wife, Maddie, with her opium addiction. And it's just headaches, Wyatt. Just headaches.
All right. Well, I didn't get a chance to talk about my favorite scene.
So, okay. So your favorite.
Yeah. The introduction of Doc Holliday. I like the scene where he's playing poker.
With Frank Stallone?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, you know, all of a sudden... It's like he starts to draw on him, and then of course, you know, Doc being as fast as he is, he has his guns out first. And he's like, well, you know, and then he starts into this whole monologue about, you know, well, if we can't be friends, I don't know if I could deal with it. And then, you know, just puts his guns on the table and he's like, there, now we can be friends.
Again.
It was such a great introduction for Doc, you know, and you know, you got the wit, you got the sarcasm, and I don't know if you guys have ever caught this before, but it's not every Val Kilmer movie, but in a lot of those movies, you see him do this thing where he's twirling a quarter on his knuckles, and it was in this scene. But if you also watch, like, Real Genius, he's doing the same thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like when he's taking the test. So it seems to be like a signature thing where Val Kilmer's like, well, if I'm going to be in, I'm going to commit to this movie, you got to let me do my quarter trick.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Holliday, I loved his wit, his sarcasm. And that was just the introduction to the ride that was going to be fantastic with Doc Holliday. I loved it.
Cool. Let's have a spelling contest.
Well, that comes a little later.
Yeah, but it's just, when you start talking about Doc, all the lines that he has just keep coming, rushing to my head, you know.
Yeah.
So fun.
Right after the doctor's there, after he collapses in the casino, and then he goes up to the hotel, they take him up to the hotel after he has that run-in with Ike. And he's up there, and the doctor's telling me he's going to have to stave off smoking and drinking and abstain from sex and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And his woman is like, she's not hearing any of that because, you know, he's alive for the party and her better half, and she knows it.
Was it Kate? So,
yeah.
No, it was the Hungarian. Is that her? Kate? Yeah.
Kate.
Yeah, her name is Kate, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. He called her the Hungarian at one time. But, and he says, she says to him, you know, I've been a good woman to you. And he says, that's true. You have been a good woman. And he said, you can see it was alluding to something that he's not supposed to be doing. And he says, you could be the Antichrist.
You just may be the Antichrist.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going with the latter. I'm going with the latter on that one. But yeah, so that's, he got some of the best lines. He really did.
Oh yeah. I mean, like we said before, I'm your Huckleberry. You're a Daisy if you do. One of my favorite lines by him is not actually a verbal line. It's in retort to Johnny Ringo doing his fancy gun slinging.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And Doc busts out his little tin shot cup, and he starts doing it, swirl it around on his finger like it's a gun, and he even gets it to the point where he puts it in a holster, and everybody
was looking hysterical.
Not a word is spoken, but you know there was a lot said.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Latin, darling. Obviously, Johnny Ringo is a learned man. Now I really do hate him.
Yeah.
We have so many great cast members here. Is there anybody that's your least favorite cast member? Like one that you were like, I don't know about this part.
What's never crazy about Billy Zane's character? Or even what's her name? Dana Delaney's character.
The love story you weren't really checked into.
The play side of things, the art. I didn't. I know it's part of what really happened, although there's some discrepancy on the timeline that I was reading as far as like when that specific playhouse opened versus when they were supposed to be shooting or when they were supposed to be taking place or whatever. But yeah, I didn't like most of that stuff. I didn't really care for. I think I was more into the gunfighting part of things.
Yeah, I was the Jason Priestley character. For some reason, he didn't do it much for me.
Okay, that I can see that.
Billy.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I understand kind of the, you know, he had to, you know, his character had to evolve into the, you know, I'm supporting the Cowboys and I'm supporting the what they call Behan, the county sheriff or count, whatever it was.
They're my friends. Mm-hmm.
And you know, so he was kind of like, you know, in leagues with them, but then he was like, oh no, we need to have law, you know. And so he changed his tune, and it was great to, you know, see that evolution of you know, the character. But at the same time, it was kind of like I really didn't have much to be excited about his character other than just being a fanboy, Yeah, that's essentially what he was. He was a fanboy of not only Josephine, but also the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was like a kind of a groupie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see where you would, like, his character would be something that you're not crazy about.
Yeah. What about you, Rose? Do you have a least favorite character?
Dana Delaney.
Yeah, okay. I think I kind of got that blip from you earlier, so.
Yeah, I just, you know, I didn't really feel like it needed to be in there, but it's part of the story, so I don't know. I just really felt like I could have skipped through that whole nonsense, but.
But at the end, he ends up with her, and that's kind of the, you know, his happiness, even though he didn't realize that was what his happiness was going to involve. I mean, does that make it any better? No. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
That's fine. I was just asking. Simple question.
I couldn't even answer that, honestly. No. But yeah.
All right, so we talked favorite scene. We talked our least favorite character. I guess, do we have a favorite character? Go ahead, Rose.
Well, I think I've alluded to that already. I am a huge fan of Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer, yeah, I figured.
And Doc Holliday was definitely my draw deeper into the movie. I don't know what it would be like if there wasn't that snarky sociopath in the film, to be honest with you. I just don't think it would have had that oomph. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think if you didn't have Doc and you didn't have Curly Bell doing those sarcastic lines that they do and add elements of humor, whether they were, you know, delivered as straight lines or not.
Right.
This movie would have had a different tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was reading some of the trivia side of things, and specifically Doc Holliday. One of the actors that was in the was of interest for this role was Willem Dafoe. Now, do you think he could have delivered the dryness that the way Val Kilmer does?
Oh, that's tough.
I don't think so. I think Val Kilmer has a certain delivery style of sarcastic humor and dry humor like that. Where Willem Dafoe is, he's a very talented actor, but he doesn't have that same... You know, Val Kilmer has a comedic side to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can make it seem funny, even though it's serious. He can lighten it up. I don't know if Willem Dafoe would have been like the right fit for that type of role.
Did you ever see him in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
No, never saw that one.
Willem Dafoe and Val Kilmer.
And together?
Yes.
Oh wow, really?
Hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
It actually is. I'm not gonna get into it right now because it's like a totally different kind of movie. But I think Willem Dafoe's presence would have overshadowed most of the actors because he's just so damn scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like...
He might have been too serious for that role.
Yeah, he's a bit frightening. So
yeah, because you already had that with Kurt. You didn't need more of that. Yeah, that would have definitely put a whole different tone on it.
Yeah, yeah. So, it was probably a good call for whoever decided not to cast him.
So, do you have any more on Doc Holliday that you want to talk about, Rose?
I don't want to say I admire him for powering through his illness, but his stubbornness, I think, under normal circumstances, I think anyone who dissipated their body as much as he did would have died long before that. But I think he was just too ornery and stubborn to die. And so it just, like, whenever he'd have a setback, he would just keep plowing through it. And the one scene that I do remember, and I haven't got to yet this time as I'm watching it, is when he's in the hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Wyatt comes to see him when he's upset that he's there to see him in this condition. And you know that he's kind of, you could almost see a sense of him kind of giving up. You know, he really believes that, you know, that this is it for him. But then you see later on that it really isn't, because he had one less thing to do. I mean, one more thing to do. So it's just, I don't know, his determination to just keep going against the odds, I think, was more so than, not that anybody else's determination was even lessened, but the man had TB, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And probably syphilis. And he was an alcoholic. So it was just like, the trifecta of, you know, fucked up at this. Yeah. just, here's a coffin. Why don't you go lie in it for the rest of your life? He's like, nope, no thank you.
Yeah, that's the part when he's like acting very sick for, you know, to Wyatt, but then he goes to confront Johnny Ringo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that was kind of a you know, the setup where you're like, oh, yep, that's it. That's the end of Doc. But, you know, and then you're like, oh, I wasn't as sick as I made out to be. You know, I was like, oh, you fucker. Good for you.
No! Well, you see, that's his attitude. See, he's one of those people that likes fucking with other people.
Yeah.
And that's probably what kept him going. He had to have somebody to cage, to rattle, to keep him. Some people, they're just born like that. My mom was like that. She liked fucking with people. That just kept her alive. So,
yeah.
Until it did. But I'm just, some people, they just thrive on that kind of behavior. I just never have been like that.
So Scott, you're gonna say something there.
Yeah, you know, I read through a lot of the backstory of what's on IMDb with all the, you know, the trivial stuff. And one of the things that came up in one of the posts was that Doc was like upset at the end. You know, he's dying, but he's not dying in the way that he wanted to die. Like, he wanted to die in a gunfight. He wanted to die doing what he's good at, not from some freaking disease that killed him. You know, I mean, nobody wants to die that way anyway, but he wanted to die in a more honorable way than dying of an illness. You know, I think it's the stupid level of pride that is built into us humans, that wants to, you know, we want to go out with a bang, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's how I think quote Bon Jovi, "Blaze of Glory."
I was just thinking
which is the you know, another great Western from the 80s, which we can talk about another time.
Yoo-hoo, I'll make you famous.
Yeah. this one though, like I was never really a big fan of Westerns, like the spaghetti Westerns that you know, Clint Eastwood did back in the 70s and 60s and stuff, but this one won me over as far as a Western goes. I just didn't really get into them. That and Young Guns. But anyway, Doc is a great, great pick as far as like your favorite character, because it's hard to argue that, really, that he didn't stand out above a lot of the others. Although he's got a lot of competition.
Yeah, he does.
A lot of competition. Dave, what about you? Who's your favorite character in this? Character. Real.
Yeah, I was, you know, I have a deep affection for Doc Holliday. Just love the sarcasm and wit. But another person that is pretty high up on the list, and I can't deny, is Johnny Ringo. And, you know, you have this... Michael Biehn portrayed him as such a dark soul, and you're like, Wow, I'm floored by this guy. I have no idea what's going to happen next with him. You know, from the scene where they're at the it was outside the church. You know, one of the Mexican police had just gotten married, and there's this person that's speaking Spanish. That's the priest. And he's, you know, giving them, you know, about, you know, some sort of biblical verse. And all of a sudden, you know, Johnny Ringo is able to translate that. And then he gets tired of hearing this priest, and he just shoots him right in the head. Yeah. And you're like, and it was just like, it was nothing. It was another day at the office for him. You know, just bam.
Yeah.
And then I'm moving on.
Yeah.
And Curly Bell just kind of laughs it off, and he's like, okay, what was he saying? He's like, he's quoting scripture, by the way.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, you know, and he's like, what, well, you know, and then there's another scene where they're in the, not the movie theater, but the theater where they're watching the play, and he's like, well, would you sell your soul to the devil? And he's like, well, I already did.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a dark dude, man. You don't know what's going to happen with this guy. And Michael Biehn played it to the T. You had no idea what was going to happen with this guy. And that made him fun to watch because it was unpredictable.
Yeah.
So what about you, Scott? What's your favorite character?
Well, I'm going to go with the lead role of Wyatt.
Of course.
I think Kurt Russell just, he sold it 100% that he was there. He was at Wyatt Earp, and he was kicking ass and not taking any names. And he was just a badass. You could see it in his eyes. Like, complete intimidation. And he didn't have to be good at a gunfight. He carried it with his confidence, you know. And that's why I just think Kurt Russell was, you know, I don't know if I would have picked him originally for that role, because he did some more comedic things, although he was pretty much a badass as Snake Plissken from Escape from New York. But you know, he had done some funny things too along the way. You know, he did Big Trouble in Little China, which was you know, kind of a spoof, and some other things.
You mean that was a comedy?
Yes, it was a comedy. Yes, Dave, that was a comedy. So, anyway, I just
thought Used Cars was a non funny movie though, right?
No, that was drama. Drama.
Okay, you know. Perfect.
especially when at the end, when they put that guy in the wood chipper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, that's Fargo. That's a totally different movie, and he wasn't even in that.
We're allowed to screw things up. We're on Bonsai.
Yeah. So, anyway, I just thought Kurt Russell was amazing in that role. And we can say, you know, I mean, they're top billed, Val Kilmer and Kurt Russell on this. You know, they're the main characters. But all these other guys and ladies that were in this were unbelievable. I mean, I love Curly Bill. Powers Booth was such a perfect Curly Bill. His level of, you know, humor and comedy was also, you know, very serious at the same time, but he was awesome. Bill Paxton was a great supporting role. Sam Elliott was a great supporting role. You've got Charlton Heston, for crying out loud, in this movie. Robert Mitchum was the narrator in the beginning. A strange little bit of trivia that I found is there's actually an actor in the movie named Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
And he's like the fifth cousin, true fifth cousin of Wyatt Earp.
What part did he have?
His name was Billy Claiborne, and I can't figure out what it is, like what role that actually played. Like whether he was a good guy, bad guy, what, cowboy or lawman or I don't know. Because if you look it up on IMDb, you can't click on Billy Claiborne like to give you any kind of backstory on that. So I don't really know what he played.
Was he part of the three after the house shot up that turned their sashes in?
No, those were the there was two. There was who is that? Sherman McMasters, which is Michael Rooker, and then not Stillwell. Texas Jack was one of them too.
Okay.
And Turkey Creek Jack Johnson, Texas Jack Vermillion, and the other guy that I just mentioned.
Yeah, Turkey Creek Jack
Johnson. Yeah,
who came up with those names? That's some straight up cowboy names.
Oh yeah.
Cosmopolitan.
So overall, it's just this lineup that they had is just unbelievable, and they have so many great supporting roles. Even, I mean, like Frank Stallone, I thought he was fun to watch in that first 5 minutes too. It doesn't really get much better than this as far as westerns, in my opinion. A lot of people would say, well, Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood would be a good rival for the time frame that it came out in the 90s. But really, they really just don't do westerns like this one. There's so many great names in it. Now, and I was also looking at one other thing. I'm sorry if I'm monopolizing here. The cost for making this and then the income was kind of interesting by comparison when we talked about Pulp Fiction. You know, Pulp Fiction cost only $9 million to make, and it, you know, grossed over $63 million worldwide, where Tombstone cost almost $25 million to make, I think. Budget was $25 estimated. Gross USA was $56 million. Now, $56 million sounds like a lot, but when you're comparing it from $9 million to $25 million for the production cost, you know,
double their money.
Yeah, basically. Okay, I'm getting some
kind of reason to do it.
Yep. I don't want to. I don't want to start a free 30-day trial. Leave me alone. I don't want IMDb Pro. Why did that come up? Oh, there it is. I clicked on the wrong thing. Be careful, people. Don't click on the wrong thing.
Maybe you can contact celebrities and get them on the show for us.
Hey, you know.
I'm sure Kurt Russell's not busy.
Oh yeah, sure.
No, of course not.
All right, so I know that you wanted to talk about Ike.
I do want to talk about Ike.
Okay. What is there about Ike you want to talk about?
I think it's very fascinating that Ike is he tries to come off as this badass, but every time he's put in a sticky situation, he cowers and just completely wusses out and just totally goes complete wimp mode. It's really bizarre. Another thing that I was reading during the OK Corral, where he runs into a photo, a photography office or whatever, where Dana Delaney's getting her picture taken. He goes in. In the movie, they show him going in and getting a gun and using that gun to fight with. Well, there are some accounts that say he didn't actually grab a gun and fight. He actually ran through the photo studio and out the back door and took off.
Mm.
So it's just another way of his being...
cowardly.
Yes, he's very cowardly. So that was just something I wanted to bring about Ike. I wonder how... I think it seems like it's probably a pretty close
representation.
Representation of who he really was. And you know, even at the end, when they're finally, you know, they're chasing him down on the horses, and they've been going on a rampage, just killing anybody with a red sash. You know, that is Kurt Russell and his marshals. They're chasing him, and they show him take off his red sash and throw it behind him, and they're not going to kill him now. You know, and he just takes off. So, and I think he ended up...
I thought they did gun him down.
No, Ike survives, actually.
Okay.
Ike survives that initial... He survives Wyatt Earp. I mean, he doesn't survive him, like, lives longer, but he survives that whole experience of Wyatt Earp bringing back the law and order to the area. He was later, I think he was shot during a robbery, like, 2 years after this all happened. I think that's what they said in the wrap-up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he was... I think he was gunned down in a robbery. He was robbing someplace and he got shot. So.
Hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, he actually survived every encounter that he had with the Earp brothers and Doc. So another great, great scene. I'm sorry.
I was just going to wrap that up with a message that says cowardice pays off.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You get to live.
Okay. For at least a couple more years, maybe.
I mean, I'm not saying, you know, be a cowardice or be a coward and then go do a bank robbery. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying be a coward and live longer.
Okay.
Curious.
So there was one moment in the movie that struck really close to home considering the times that we live in now. And that was after Curly Bill shoots the sheriff in the streets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide, well, we're going to have a gun law now.
Yeah.
And the whole town is, you know, all upset because, and Sam Elliott comes out and says, look, we're not saying you can't own a gun. We're not saying you can't carry a gun. You just can't carry it in town, you know, and everybody's just flipping out. And I'm going, wow, it's really close to what's going on with a lot of things in today's society now because of all the shootings that have been going on, especially, you know, with the most recent one down in South Florida here. You know, it's a strong statement knowing that they've been talking about this gun thing forever. You know, it's been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. So it was just, I never really considered that moment the previous times I watched it. Like, oh, this is a powerful statement, you know. Mm-hmm. But it really is. It's really got a lot of meat to it to consider. So anyway,
yeah, it's so tough not to get on a soapbox on that topic. I've got to refrain.
No, you know what? Don't get me wrong. I have my opinions too, and I'm not. I don't believe guns kill people. I believe people kill people, and they'll find a way whether they use a gun or not if they're psychotic enough.
We're going to end up soapboxing here. I've got to say we got stick to the movie.
Okay. Okay.
just a bad time period for that. And
it really is.
Yeah.
But And that's, I think that's why that moment stuck out in it, because I just watched it yesterday.
Yeah.
You know,
The events are too close together.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I get it.
Anyway, there's a lot of really interesting stuff out there about some of the trivial stuff that goes on behind the scenes and the timelines and stuff about this movie. But overall, just, man, it really, it's, I have like a top 10, right, of movies, just all-time movies, and this is definitely one of them, so.
Okay. Rose, Scott went on a little bit of a thing with Ike. Was there anything that, mm-hmm. any other character there that I guess you wanted to do any kind of highlight other than your favorite?
Kind of difficult. I honestly don't necessarily want to talk about a character in particular. Okay.
But you've got an element of the movie you want to talk about.
An element of the movie that I like to speak of.
Okay.
Is these amazing mustaches. These men.
Yes.
Carbons. I have never seen such a glorious display of mustachery in a movie in a very long time. I'm telling you.
That's a great word.
And being in where they were in the desert in Tombstone, you know that those had to be quaffed at least 2 or 3 times a day because there was all kinds of crap in them, probably like sticks and twigs and tumbleweeds and sand and
sweat.
Just, yeah, a lot of that. A lot of, and then everybody's spitting every 5 minutes because they're chawing tobacco. So yeah. There was a lot of that in there, you know? So it's just like, you guys, this is awesome. And I think the only one that had the understated mustache of the group was Doc Holliday, because he just probably said, it's just way too much work. I don't have time for that. I'd rather gamble. Yeah,
his was more of the pencil thin mustache.
Yeah, style, but
versus the,
you know,
big old handlebars.
Oh, I know. And Curly Bill and Johnny Ringo and, you know, everybody, except for the females, of course, they had those big, massive, put Tom Selleck to shame, look at the mustaches.
Yep.
And it was just the time. It was one of the lines in it, when they were talking about the boomtown, about Tombstone and how it was going to be the next San Francisco, and how the law from mm-hmm. the county was 4 or 5 different people in one. You know, well, if you're talking lots here, I'm your man, or if you're talking this, I'm your guy, kind of a thing. He's making, you know, money hand over fist by having so many hats that he wears. But he's just, you know, and Kurt Russell just basically said, well, people are dressed just a little too upscale for it to be something or whatever. One of them said that, and I thought, you know, he's kind of right, because there's an awful lot of people walking around looking like they're either, you know, going to church or just came back from church or whatever. The whole costume, and I'm not even sure if they won an Academy Award for most authentic costume in history, you know, because dedicated specifically to the Old West, but, you know, they had those long coats, those dusters on, mm-hmm. and everybody had the hat. I don't know where they got, everybody had the hat, that was the style. Everybody had to wear one, you know, when something came out in style, it was just like, oh, I like that, so I'm going to wear it too. So, you know, the brothers had those hats, and they were sharp. They just really looked sharp. But then again, here they were from they were from Kansas City. They're from the big city, so you probably had to dress like that. Mm-hmm. Dodge City, so they're from Kansas, I guess. So, but yeah, the whole costume and the blended facial hair, that is really impressive.
You know, you mentioned the hats. I'm glad you brought that up, because I always thought it was really fascinating that their hats were actually flat brimmed, mm-hmm. versus like curled up, like what we imagine as cowboys having, nowadays or whatever. Just it's just your image of a cowboy. The cat, the hat is kind of curled a little bit. Right. These guys all had that big flat brim, which makes more sense because it covers more of your. It gives you more shade.
Yeah. So. And Stone, Arizona is nothing to sneeze at in the summer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, everything was wool too.
Yeah.
Like all the clothing was wool.
Leather. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was all natural fabric, so you know they had all that stuff on. It was probably wintertime. And they said, you know, something about it's getting warmer or something. Spring will be here soon. I'm like, spring? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I read that Val Kilmer actually wanted to wear true wool clothing to be that much in character.
Because
he wanted to be sweating and hot, and plus he was sickly, so it kind of made him even look even more true to true to being a lunger.
Yeah.
So it, he really immersed himself into that role. Another part that I saw was that he actually laid on a bed of ice at the end on the hospital bed to force himself to have the chills and to have that shaking, that kind of uncontrollable thing of being having the chills. I mean, he's amazing that he wanted to get that much into character.
I could be wrong. Like I said, I have to finish watching it here tonight. But if I'm recalling correctly, they didn't let him have any alcohol while he was in there. So I'm wondering how much of the shaking wasn't the DTs.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good observation, too. Yeah.
You know what I find very interesting about our conversation tonight is that we named all these great, you know, characters and their contributions to the movie, but we've barely touched Sam Elliott or Bill Paxton.
I know.
And that's a shame. That really is a shame. Because they were very powerful, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with all those other elements that are happening in this movie, you know, they had strong roles. I'll give them that. And, I mean, you talked about Sam Elliott, where he's, you know, putting the new law out about the gun, you know, not having guns in town, and you know, very important roles in this movie. You know, I mean, Bill Paxton, you know, is kind of the a bit of the naive brother, but then he kind of starts getting wise into the ways of being a lawman and what that means and the implications of it. But then ends up dying and being kind of the lead-in to this whole third act that you know, Kurt Russell, you know, is now on a vengeance, you know, because of the death of Bill Paxton. But you know, I mean, all of these very pivotal moments of this movie, but you know, we focused on everything else that was happening around them. So it's so interesting to me that even though these are significant characters in this movie, that you know, we didn't spend a lot of time on them. And I'm not saying they're not important. I'm just saying that it's telling to the breadth of the characters and the story as to, you know, what we're focusing on. And there's so many great elements of this movie. It is just fantastic. And for Sam Elliott and Bill Paxton to be, you know, on the tail end of the conversation, it says something.
Yeah, and I love both of them as actors. I think Sam Elliott is, I like him a lot, and I love Bill Paxton as work, and, you know, it was a shame that we lost him last year at a very young age. He thought he would have had a lot more to bring to the table for a while, you know, and It's hard to overlook them, but at the same time, there are so many, we can only fit so much time in with discussing this movie. If we had 3 hours, you know, we might be able to touch on every character on it, in it, you know, every major role that is part of it. Cause there's a lot more, I mean, there's a lot more stuff that's going on there.
Yeah. And Rose's Pot Roast is not going to wait.
Oh yeah, that's true. And
you know what?
I'm pretty wiped out, so I'm gonna go too. I'm ready to go to bed.
I've only got like one more thing to say, and see, mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up and brought us in perspective, because the whole element of the movie, to me, is about the family. And one of the most poignant parts of the movie is at the beginning when they all arrive in Moonstone. Mm-hmm. And Virgil says, "Thank you, Wyatt, for doing this for us."
Mm-hmm.
So basically that whole expense, if you want to call it that, was on him. And he was taking his family out of Dodge City, away from all the chaos and the crime mm-hmm. and the mayhem, and bringing them somewhere quieter so they could live out their lives in peace and be businessmen and build a life for their family. And when they're all standing there after they get off the stagecoach or their wagons or whatever, and all six of them are standing in front of the storefront window, remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just be quiet. Stop running your mouth and just look at us. Just look at this. Mm-hmm. And you see the six of them in there. And it's just like, who does that? That is a very close-knit family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the wives all know each other, you know, and the brothers are very close. And that's the whole reason that they were there, was for that unit right mm-hmm. there. You know, and it didn't surprise me that Virgil was the first one to get upset about what was going on once the Cowboys, you know, started mm-hmm. in.
You know, I can't look at these people in the face. I walk down exactly. the street. I can't look at them. Yeah. Yeah.
Runs out in the street to grab the little boy that almost gets run over.
Yep.
By mm-hmm. the people panicking as they were shooting and everything. And he looks the woman in the eye and she's just, you know, she can't believe it. He can't believe it. You know, and the poor little boy is just like, "Aw." You know, and he just really feels strongly about having to do something. And when he approaches Wyatt about it, he's just like, "I'm not getting involved." You know, and you shouldn't either, but I can't tell you what to do. So, you know, and that's kind of where it starts. You know, because Wyatt may be the focal point, but Virgil's the older brother, and that carried a lot of weight
mm-hmm.
in family back then. So everybody had their place in the family.
Yeah, I was wondering how hard was it. I mean, how did they stay like in contact with each other? You know,
yeah, that's
before
I wonder about that stuff too.
Yeah, like you know,
yeah,
for them to hook up and say, okay, we're going to you know, we'll meet up in Tombstone now, mm-hmm. and yeah. Or not Tombstone, wherever they met up before they went on that little wagon train thing that they had going on. Mm-hmm. But you know, we'll meet up here. You know, and coordinate that. It's not like us where we can't, you know, we can message each other with a phone and, you know, stay in contact. I mean, this is something that would have been coordinated, you know, a long time.
Months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe in a year.
And how's Virgil, Morgan, and Wyatt, you know, how are they communicating to keep that unit together, you know, back then? You know, I assume letters, but
mm-hmm. Pony Express.
But, yeah. Yep.
Pony Express. Telegram.
But that, yeah. I mean, that was a commitment right there. You know, tonight I'm writing a letter to Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my, that's what I'm going to do tonight. Oh, you know, and maybe tomorrow I'll write Morgan.
With a quill. And ink.
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like we're kind of wrapping things up. Scott, did you have any kind of thoughts like that, like Rose just laid on us? Because that was pretty heavy.
No, I like that. I like that she brought up the family aspect of things, and it really was important that they keep the family unit together as brothers. And that's a good take on it. I really don't have anything else to add because I've already said it's an awesome movie and I love it and I love it and I love it. I don't know how much more else I can express how fascinating and fun this movie is to watch. The actors, everybody just pulls it all off without a hitch. There's no there's nothing really wrong about this movie that I've seen, that I've noticed. I just love it from beginning to end. You know, like I said before, I could maybe do without the scene where they're running through the fields and the horses or whatever between Dana Delaney and Wyatt, but whatever. It's part of the story. I get it. So I don't think I can add anything else.
Yeah, for me, the everything, Rose, you said was spot on. But something that I want to bring to the forefront as to why this movie is so powerful. And I've said this about specific actors in the past, specifically Tom Hanks and maybe Denzel Washington, is when you get them in a specific movie or in a certain role, they cease to be Denzel Washington or Tom Hanks. They become that character, and they're so you believe that that's who they are at that moment, and over the course of the movie, they are that person. And while we've used their names throughout this podcast, we talk about Kurt Russell, we're talking about Val Kilmer, we're talking about Powers Booth, but when I've seen this, the multiple times I've seen it, they are Wyatt Earp. They are Doc Holliday. They are Curly Bill Brocious. So all these guys just brought their A game to this movie. And there was nothing bad about it. Nothing bad about anything that they did. And while they're recognizable as their real human, you know, actor counterparts, Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, Powers Booth, they were so into that role and believable. And that's what made this movie such a great ride for me, was because I forgot who they were. And bought into their Wyatt, their Doc, you know, and it's just a fun ride. Love this movie. Great choice.
Cool.
All right. Awesome. So this is the part where we remind people how to stay in contact with us. We have this thing out there on the internet. It's called a website. It's Banzai, Banzai, RetroClub.com. You can go there. There's links to our social media things that we have out there. We have Tumblr, we have Twitter, we have various methods that we have our podcast available, which is like Google Play and iTunes. So all of those links are available on the website. We've also got a blog on there, so there's plenty of ways to stay engaged with us. If you also go to the contact page, there are ways that you can send emails to myself, Scott, Rose, individually. And actually, I got to create a link for the group email, which is McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. So we would encourage you to drop us a note and tell us what you like, what you don't like about the podcast. We'd love that feedback. Another method on that website is a method that you can leave a voicemail for us. Would love, 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 love any of you to leave us a voicemail so we can hear your wonderful voice and we play it back and comment on it. So that is very important to us. We'd love for more people to use that feature. So please do that. So another thing that we like to tell people to do for us is do this little thing called iTunes reviews. Rose, why don't you tell us about that?
Well, there's this thing called iTunes, and it's like really huge and stuff. And you can listen to like music and watch movies and podcasts. We can't actually watch a podcast. I suppose you can watch.
What's that company that does that again? Who's that? Is that Pear?
Banana?
Banana. Apple, that's it.
There you go. Yep, gosh. Okay. Soon we forget. So, so they got this really cool idea. It's like, let's put all the media on one website and then have people either buy it or listen to it. And when you do listen to our podcast, please subscribe if you like us and leave us a review if you like us. And you don't like us, that's okay too. You can leave us a review about that. And just enjoy yourself. That's the whole purpose of doing this podcast, is so people like us that like to geek out on pop culture and sit back and go, oh my God, I remember that movie. That was so much fun. Or like, God, I hated that actor. Why would they even bring him up? And then you get all excited and worked up, and then you have to say something about it. And that's, we're the perfect people to tell that kind of stuff to. So leave us a review, subscribe, rate, stars. We love stars. And we love you.
Aw. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
All right. And then there's another thing that's through our website for BonsaiRetroClub.com. There is this thing called Patreon. Scott will tell us about that.
Patreon. Yes, Patreon is a way that you can help us by supporting us financially to run the website and have the storage on the net and all kinds of great things. And it just shows us how much you appreciate our show. And you can, you know, it doesn't have to be a large donation by any means, but it can, just any little thing helps us with keeping this show out there and keeping things rolling. So if it is, there's a direct link on our website, BonsaiRetroClub.com, and you can find it and just look for the Patreon, the word Patreon. And I believe there's a little symbol there too. So
yep. Down at the bottom of the first page. Yep.
Yep. So,
and something you brought up on a previous episode that, we don't like mention a lot, but there are links to, our logo is now on various like t-shirts and pillows and stuff like that, so you can get to that link on our website also. So if you're interested in getting the show's logo on a t-shirt, sweatshirt, notebook, coffee cup, all that stuff is available through BonsaiRetroClub.com. And that's another way to support us. All right, so this is the part of the program where I try to remind all of us to be excellent to each other. Let's keep the golden rule in check. Treat everybody like you want to be treated. We alluded to just some wackiness that has been going on in this world, specifically the U.S., it's so hard not to soapbox on that moment, but there's some bad shit going on in this world. And if more people just live by the rule of being excellent to each other, I think we would be better off towards each other. So please do that. Please. Pretty please. We need you to. All right, so with that, we have no idea when you're going to listen to this thing, so have a good whatever.
Bye. Take care, people.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 What a great pick of a movie, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, of course, why didn't I think of that? That's exactly when you texted me about it. So I was like, what? That should have been like, you know, before like maybe even Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, you know, that's a good one too, though.
No, I mean, they're all great movies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we obviously have plenty to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you know, in my case, I've been trying to get out of doing a podcast for like 2 months now. And I was like running late on just everything today. And I was just like, man, the first thing I think of this morning is just like, because I was reading all of the comments that you guys made on Messenger yesterday. I wasn't responding. And I thought, okay, I think I'm just going to bail out on this. I was like, we're talking about Tombstone? Damn it. I want to be a part of that shit. Oh, no. I have to be productive today. Fuck. okay, hurry up. It's okay. I just like, no peace, no resting. You know, no fucking off. Okay, let's go to the store. We're going to do laundry. We're going to do this. Going to put the parmesan in the oven. Got to watch the rest of this movie. Got to be ready for the podcast. But yeah, well, totally worth
it. Well, yeah, well, we don't have one next week, though.
Oh, we don't?
We do not. Oh, because both Scott and I have alternate agendas.
Oh, wow.
Well, not together,
well,
though.
Well, that'd be cool. Well, so, yeah. That would be weird.
So that gets you, yeah, that gets you your week off if you just want one week. I don't know if you wanted more, though.
No, it was just like taking a break. I don't know. I just get really panicky when I don't have all my ducks in a row.
I gotcha.
So, but yeah, but this will be perfect because I've got the Comic-Con day on Friday.
Okay.
So I'll be able to kind of like piece things together and maybe you have something fascinating to bring to the table. Either
awesome.
Shannon Purser or Carl Urban.
Yeah.
I'm not going very as cool. Press. I'm going as a regular person, but they will know that I am 80s music girl.
Awesome.
Very nice.
No one is safe.
By the way, did you send those business cards over to Rose?
No, I have not sent them to you either yet.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if you'd gotten to Rose or not. I was thinking it'd be a good time to have those.
I was actually just, I know, when is the, when is it? This coming weekend?
March 2nd.
Next weekend?
Yeah, Friday.
Whew, all the way to Washington. I was just looking at your address, actually. That's a strange name of a street, I'll tell you.
Silicon? Yeah, it's name after a town that's even stranger.
Is that E-I-L?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Still just making sure I didn't read it wrong.
No, you didn't. I know. Okay.
Yeah, I got it right in front of me. And then, Dave, you know what? I know I have your address somewhere, but can you shoot it to me in a message so I can... I'm going to try to get those out tomorrow. I think cool. I can swing it.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't have any big events, so mine's less important. But
no, if I'm going to get them out, I'm going to put them out together at the same day. I'll make a same trip to the post office or whatever. So
I get because
I don't have I don't have that postal thing at home, stamps.com or anything like that.
They're not a sponsor of ours, so we don't have to bring them up.
No. Something or other.com. I don't know.
Stamps.com. That's .com.
I wonder if there's a website called something or other.com.
I bet you there is. There has to be.
All right. I'm curious now.
All right. Yeah, I'm looking it up.
Something.
I'm going to bail on you guys.
Or
nope.
Other.
It's available.
Oh, good.
That would have been a fun name of a podcast.
Something or another. How about something or another? Nope, they're both available.
I put something or other.
People just have no sense of imagination.
Yep. All right, guys, I gotta go.
All right, me too.
All right, you guys have a enjoy your pot roast and Scott.
Thank
hopefully
you.
The sunburn's not too bad.
Yeah,
aloe vera.
I'll be peeling, I'm sure. So
you will.
All right, guys, take care.
Take care.
All right, mm-hmm. Bye. Well, are you going to see if I was going to disconnect first?
Oh, no. I thought we disconnected. Sorry.
Oh. No. Rose was quicker on the disconnect than I was.
I'm closing several different windows, and I just realized right as you said that, I realized that I was still on. So
I was like, he's testing to see if I disconnect first.
All right. No, you hang up first, Dave.
No, you hang up first. All right. Let's do it together on the count of three.
Okay, one,
two, three.